Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the MFers here. Ben Vol in the Boston Globe. Is in town. Ben, I was looking at your tweet earlier, and I just one thing that I noticed. It wasn't exactly your tweet. How do you lose a blue check mark? You lost your blue check mark.
Out of the blue, too. Out of the blue. Woke up at 3:30 this morning, Lou, as one does,
yeah.
to an email.
As
says,
all of us do.
I'm your sure. Twitter account is no longer verified. And it, you know,
what did you do?
I guess I'm too much of a rebel, you know? I'm just too much of a badass for Twitter.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with the fact that you like just really, you know, co-signed on Dan Shaughnessy's article about nepotism being an issue with Bill Belichick. I feel like that really kind of pissed somebody off, and they said, you know what?
Belichick called him a favor.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's how it works. It's a mafia mentality.
A take of yours. I don't know. Talking about Jimmy G, would have had a better season here with Mac. Like
with
maybe that take.
Blue check mark.
Do we doubt that, by the way?
No, but was that you tweeted that, I think, before the fourth quarter.
I did.
He took a lot of heat.
Well,
after
they told
that.
You that they sent you previous emails, and they wanted you to change something. Was it like your picture? Was it like, you know, your bio? What was it?
Yeah, I think it's just like you had to add a phone number or an email, and it's things that I mean, I've had this since I got to the Globe almost 9 years ago, and it's never been an issue. And they said,
now it's gone.
As wow. Previously mentioned in emails, if I did get them, they're caught up in my spam folder. So I got people, you know, working on my behalf, hoping to fix this. But if that's what it is, you know what? I've always been kind of a rebel, kind of a counterculture guy. So if they don't want to verify me, then you know what? I'm not going to cry.
Yeah,
about
now
it.
You're in one of those categories of guys that I'm trying to figure out why aren't verified. Like your boy Alex Speer.
Oh, he's not verified either?
No, he doesn't have a blue check mark.
Maybe he,
Alex
like me.
Alex Speer.
You know?
I mean, Jesus. President of the Harvard Debate Club.
Stats Masterson.
The guy doesn't have a check mark. Get the man a check mark. Ben, what the hell happened on Saturday?
Yeah.
Simple.
The JV team had to play the varsity. Or the eighth grade team had to play the varsity. That's what
really?
It looked like. They just didn't have.
What it looked like
they didn't have the horses. They didn't have the
Why
athletes
it like
to match up. And
oh, I heard. And I don't want they weren't believing in themselves.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it was like effort or whatever. I know we love to say, you know, these guys didn't care about the. I try not to play that card. I think playing coaching, as Belichick said, it was all awful. And the Bills are the measuring stick now, and you are just nowhere close to them. I think that's what's become so obvious, because it's not like this was one game. This was two games. You couldn't even force a single punt. At least in the home game here after Christmas, you forced a couple of field goals and got a fourth down stop. But like this was literally a perfect game that the Bills pitched the other night. So you're just so far off. And you know, the defense is looking old and slow. The offense... somehow they finished the season sixth in points scored. They have no pop.
A bunch of 50 burgers on two teams.
I mean, do you know that? So I like discount the Jaguars game at this point. That was just like a preseason.
Well, that's helping your average as far as points scored.
Well, right. But like
they average like 33 points against horrible football teams.
No question. So, I mean, that's good that you beat up on. They never have like the 9-6 loss to the Jaguars at the Bills. So I give the Patriots credit for that. They never flop against the teams that they should beat, but they are clearly exposed against the good teams. And in the four games they lost after the bye, like again, I discount the Jaguars game. The four games they lost, Bills, Colts,
Dolphins
and Bills. They were outscored in the first half 78-17.
That's not bad.
They let teams jump all over them, and they couldn't answer. So all this talk about how Mac is great, and Mac is – I mean, like, I don't want to dump on Mac in the offense, but they had nothing. They couldn't bring anything to the fight when it was still a ball game, and they're having to claw back from 20 points down, 17 points down every week. So this team, they just have a long, long way to go, and I think that was really painfully exposed the last few weeks.
So was there something that stood out to you more than others? Was there a certain play that stood out to you? Was a certain moment that you said, uh-oh, this is bad?
Probably
or was it when they broke the huddle?
When did you know it was over? I joked when I heard that they deferred.
Probably the punt after it was 14-0. But, I mean, just the fact that the Bills were going 70 yards, 80 yards, 81 yards. They were driving the length of the field every time. It wasn't fluky, you know?
What was the other thing, the stat that you had yesterday is like their third down, they were really good on third down, but there's only like seven
they
of them.
They were six for seven six on third
yeah,
down.
Yeah, there's only seven.
Seven third downs.
That's it. The whole game.
I remember at one point they had 31 plays and 18 first downs, which is just mind-blowing.
See, I'm with you there, too, because we were talking about this before, and it's sort of like, you know, when was it? When was it? And it's like, well, every time they put up seven, right? 14, 21, but or 20-0. But it was almost like that first pick in the end zone, which we all sat there and gave a lot of credit to Micah Hyde. I know Christian's talking about the pass. Wasn't perfect, right? Because should have been maybe in the outside more, whatever. But they come down. And I think I felt good that they moved the football. I didn't think it was over because of a pick. 14-0. All right, come move the football again like you just did. Drive the down the field. Make it 14-7. Stay in this game. And after I don't know if after that pick, they just didn't want to give the ball to Mack again. But it was Damien Harris for five, Damien Harris for two, Damien Harris for two, fourth and one, punt. And it's like down 14-0. That's how you come out? Like that fourth and one punt, I was like, that's it. It's over.
Yeah, it was another decision by Belichick where he's clearly not putting the faith in the offense. And I was surprised from the get-go that they didn't accept the opening kickoff. They've talked all the last 2 months about how important it is to get out to a lead and not play from behind. They won the toss. Usually you have a pretty good script on your first offensive series. You script out the first 15 plays. They move the ball. They took a shot towards the end zone. Why not take the ball first and see if you can jump out to a 7-0 lead instead of, once again, falling
yeah,
behind?
Yeah, you know, I didn't like that either. It wouldn't have mattered.
Probably
like, nothing would have mattered.
Nothing, I know.
Nothing would have mattered.
You can't tell me, like, oh, that would have made a difference. Hey, you know, let's try to get something going. How about somebody tackle
nothing
somebody? Don't let Josh Allen rush for 26 yards on the first – very first possession. Like, if the most important thing is the not letting him scramble, I can't even imagine how many pursuit drills or how many drills that they did during the week in order to figure out a way how to tackle that big guy.
I was just, I feel like, but we're talking, open up the show, Ben, talking about how that game was such a mismatch and this team just collapsed after a bye week that I almost feel like it has like a unbelievable sort of Malcolm Butler, I don't know why, and now we're going to start hearing these like crazy theories, whether we weren't mentally right or whether we lost our 2-4 mentality or just was there, I'm waiting for like a story about how Bill Belichick or Judon got into a fight. Like, you know what I mean? It's like we're entering that stage because you said JV versus varsity or eighth grade versus varsity, but we all thought the Bills was probably their best matchup. Like, we all thought maybe the Bills are a better team, but, you know, they can still keep it close. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how that game happened and why that team looked like it quit.
I think more than, look, I think I would quit too if it's 27-3 at halftime and it's 0 degrees outside. But I think it's the defense just looking old and slow. I mean, look, I love McCourty, Hightower, Van Noy. These guys have done tremendous things for the Patriots. But if Josh Allen is slicing them up like that, what is Patrick Mahomes going to do? They did do well against Herbert this year, but the top quarterbacks in the league now are all these mobile, dual-threat type of quarterbacks. And, I mean, Josh Allen destroyed them for two straight games in a row. They just looked old and slow. And why are your most athletic players like Josh Uche? Why is he not playing? Why is he not chasing down Josh Allen? Why is he not any good? Why is Chase Winovich not playing?
Because he's not any good either.
I guess that's what the Patriots want us to believe because they don't play these
guys. I heard
somebody
talking about Anthony Jennings. I'm like, dude,
well,
seriously?
He's been out all year.
He's been out for 3 years, 2 years straight. Like, he's not any good.
Where's the developmental pipeline?
You can't judge a draft until year three. Well, I'm pretty sure we judge this draft, and it's a good one. Why? Because you have good players. The other ones, they're not playing for a reason.
No, and they're playing less and less.
Like Stidham.
Winovich got completely buried on the depth chart this year. You know, I don't know. Duggar is a good athletic young piece. I like Duggar a lot. But where are the other guys? Where's the drafting and development?
Think about it. Duggar's playing. Why? Because he's good. Why aren't the other guys playing? Because they're not. Like, it's not that hard. Try to keep it simple.
It can't be that. It can't be that simple, though. And if it is, then I think you need to reevaluate. If it's so hard for everyone that all these guys keep, you know, not making it or they get, keep getting less playing time, then you need some self-reflection, you know? Because
you've changed your philosophy on how you, monitor and develop talent?
Yeah, or, like, draft, you, or change your scheme a little bit to maybe not make it so complicated.
See, to me, the thing is interesting. So now in the beginning of the season, we identified, like, listen, they're old and slow. You know, we asked Rodney Harrison, they look old and slow to me, Rodney. What do you think? Yeah, they look old and slow.
Because they
suddenly,
are, he said.
Suddenly, well, they weren't old and slow anymore because they went on a 7-game win streak and nobody even mentioned it. So, but now they're old and slow. So Josh Allen single-handedly, like, you know, forced you to recognize that, yes, they are old and they are slow. Because I can tell you, they didn't get faster in 7 weeks.
No.
Like, nobody was doing sprints. Nobody was doing extra leg work in order to make them become faster. So to me, it was always just they are what we thought they were before the season even started. You know, they're a good team. That's it. A good team has 10 wins. A good team, now, it used to be 9-7 was, in my opinion, based on my playing career. You get to 9-6, like, you're a good team, right? So what is it now, 10-7? Is that it? I got that totally confused.
A little bit.
10-7.
Okay.
10-7 is the new, I guess, floor for good teams. Because all those teams are in the playoffs, but we saw like what those teams look like.
That's funny you talk about, like, they are who we thought they were, right? Beginning of the season.
Yes.
What did you think they were?
I thought they were a 10. I had them winning 11 games.
But what was going to be their strength?
Forget about what their strength was. I just thought the year before was so bad that based on all the moves that they made, they got a new quarterback. They were 3 wins. I told you, 3 wins above replacement. Like, so whatever that means at that point in time, is that a playoff team? Well, it depends on what the other teams do. I actually thought they could win a playoff game based on the fact that they added another game.
They're 10-7. I just think they're going to make the playoffs. Like you said, it has to do with the rest of the league. But my point is that when the season started, we said they're going to have a very good offensive line, a good running game, and a good defense.
And a good coach.
Okay, and look at that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
What part do you want? The coaching? No, offensive line?
Offensive line, the running game, and the defense. You want to go coaching, look at the way this team played all year long. I mean, it was kind of nothing. It ended up really being nothing like we thought it was going
to
be.
Lou, I want to ask you a question. Have time until the break?
Yeah, we do. You got time.
All right. Last year, the Patriots were 31st in spending. Only the Jaguars spent less than them. They got to 7-9 with pretty terrible quarterback play. This year, they're number 4 in spending. Only 3 other teams spent more money than them. They improved from 7-9 to 10-7 and got blown out in the first round. What'd they get for their money? Like, was it really worth it?
Well, now you're down my road.
Well, now you can sit there and you can see if you have any regrets on some of the purchases and some of the signings. But I
don't
sit
you think
there
Robert
go,
Kraft it, is wondering what did I just spend all that money on?
Okay, so hey, Robert Kraft, lifestyle. Did you think spending a quarter again? I'll go back to Lou. I give you credit every freaking day for this. It didn't get you. It wasn't like you were Brady-led Patriots team, and then you're adding X receiver who was a badass, and now you're a good, really good team to one of the best in the league. That wasn't you. You were so depleted and so down that you had to spend that money just to get your head above water. Your head's above water. Okay, now you're there. Now this is what you should have spent in the first place. Okay, so now we'll see what they add. Because my thing is, do they have enough money to actually improve the improvements?
Right.
Like, how much money is left to improve the... So, imagine Bill. I feel like my kid's asking for, like, money to go hang out and gas money. I spent it all. Where'd it go? Well, then Johnny came over, and then Bill, and we had a little party. All right? Well, okay, how much money do you need? I need another $200 million. You think he says yes?
So, let me ask
you. Oh, good. Well, that's nice.
So, next year, maybe... I know the cap goes up pretty good amount. We had this discussion yesterday, Ben. Like, when you have that rookie quarterback, you want to take advantage of it, right?
Yeah.
But when you look at the financials, the way they gave them out last year and what the numbers are this coming year, are they going to even be able to take advantage of a rookie contract? Because the money they spent was just to kind of get to this point. And we all know, talk about the slow linebackers. What about the secondary? What about a free safety at Devin McCourty? What about J.C. Jackson that goes from $3.5 million to possibly $17.5 on a tag? Mm-hmm. So what else you have to do other than just linebackers? And are you going to be okay if Bill says, well, the year before we went all in. Look at the money we spent the year before. We went all in. And you're like, hold on. Time out. You went all in to get the 10-7 and get your face kicked in up in Buffalo to get back to even talent-wise? Like, now you're supposed to go. And now you can't?
And Christian, you said they had to spend that money just to get back to
level
water.
Well, that was actually lose that I agreed with.
But, I think they were 7-9 with not spending money. So I don't think they needed to spend all that money just for the,
I would say that and a normal team with a, not the greatest coach of all time, I think you're 4 wins, personally. I think you're a 4-win team. The fact that Bill was your coach allowed you to get – I thought it was one of Bill's and Josh's best coaching performances.
Excellent observation.
Thank you, Bill.
7-9.
I always got your back, Bill.
And this year might have been one of the worst. And maybe we'll get to that in a little bit, too, as well. So was it a success? 617-779-7937.
It was horrible.
It is interesting because, you know, the way this team was built, like, financially, all, like, the financial benefit on some of these contracts that were signed, the benefit is now over. If you look at some of these cap numbers, boy, do they skyrocket. We'll take a look at them next here at Maloney and Fauria with Ben Volen.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, let's head to the phones. We start looking some of these guys in the future here. Let's go to, I got actually a question for Ben. Let's go to Steve in the car. Steven, what's up, man?
How are you?
Good.
Just 2 quick questions and I'll let you go. One, would you be overly surprised if they ended up cutting bait with Jonnu Smith, and I don't know what the cap it is, but if they cut bait with them after 1 year, which they've done in the past with guys that didn't work out, and two...
Wait, with who?
Jonnu.
Oh.
Jonnu Smith. And then two...
Are you outside?
Any remote chance that they would bring in another... I can't see them
Another coordinator. Okay. Steven, I got to let you go. Your phone is just...
Jonnu and a defensive coordinator, those two.
Okay, I thought you said Jones. I'm like, Jesus.
You don't have to get rid of Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith after 1 year. I don't think they can, Ben.
It's
can they?
Not going to happen. Of all the free agents they gave contracts to last year, Judon got the best contract, but Jonnu got 3 years guaranteed. Like, next year, $9 million salary, fully guaranteed. And then into 23, he gets another 6.25 of his, like, $10 million.
Does this sound right? Like, next year, the dead cap would be $26.5 million?
I'm on overthecap.com right now, which is a tremendous website. If they cut him before June 1st or trade him before June 1st, they would take... Or if they cut him before June 1st, yeah, they would lose almost $13 million in cap space.
It's funny because we talk about this offseason, you know, and was this year a success? And they went on free agency and they hit these guys. And before the break, I was just talking about, like, look at a guy like Nelson Agholor, right, whose cap hit this year is 6.9. Next year, it's 15. Look at Hunter Henry, whose cap hit was 6.8. Next year, it's 15. Judon's cap this year was 6.3. Next year, it's 16.5. You know, Jonnu Smith, it was 5.6. Next year, 13.75. Like, Godchow. Devon Godchow, everyone's like, yeah, good signing. Yeah, $4 million cap this year. 10.5 next year. And J.C. Jackson, that was making 3.3, if you want to bring him back on the tag, it's going to be like 17.5. So all these great signings, like for 6 million caps, whatever, it's like those 7 players is $57 million more on the cap next year than they were this year.
It's further evidence, Lou, that the Patriots kind of lost their mind last offseason. And Robert Kraft said it.
And they're going to pay the price this coming season with some of these cap numbers.
We usually make fun of the teams that do this, is what Robert Kraft said. And not only did they go out and spend crazy in free agency, but they did all the accounting tricks where they backloaded the contracts and they got them under, you know, for cheap numbers in the first year. And then they spike in year two and year three. And that's what we always used to make fun of all the bad teams for doing. So it's not... It wasn't like brilliant general managing. They just kicked the can down the road and threw the most money out at these guys. And look, I'm not as worried about the salary cap. You can always mess with the money and with the
according to this,
dollars.
They have $13 million under the cap for next year. $13 million,
and they're going
to
make moves. They're going to cut guys, and like
that doesn't include J.C. Jackson.
But as far as the act, they've already spent a lot of cash on the free agents that you mentioned, and then they still need a number one corner and a right tackle and three new linebackers and a new free safety. I mean, they have significant free agents coming up. And oh, by the way, the offense you had has no pop, and you need to add to the offense as well. So that's why I really like. For a team that just went 10-7 and made the playoffs with a rookie quarterback, it's not a great feeling entering this offseason because it just feels like they have so much more work to do.
So they got their ass kicked. And so it brings up, so I guess everyone starts digging for the reasons why, and you start looking at, you know, possible liabilities. But if they would have lost a close game, would we still be having this conversation? So since they got their ass kicked, now you're starting to go, oh, they're in trouble. Look at these contracts. But if they lost a close one, would you still be identifying these contracts as being bad and how to get out of them and what would it cost you and what the cap hit's going to be, what the liability is going to be? Would you just ignore the contracts then if they lost a close one as opposed to getting their ass kicked?
I mean, the fact that they lost by 30 and even that was a gift, I mean, yes, that does factor heavily into it. But so does the fact that down the stretch in December, they lost all these games. I mean, they lost to Carson Wentz. They let the Colts jump out 20-0 on them. Twice they let the Bills, you know, pitch a no-hitter or a perfect game against them. And then against Miami, who had nothing to play for in Week 18, one of the worst rushing attacks in the league ran all over the Patriots. So it's those things. And then they cap it off by having one of the worst playoff performances ever.
But I think it was after, it wasn't the Colts, it must have been maybe the Bills, the second Bills game. The big talk was contender pretender. Did they fool you? Did they catch you sleeping, right? Were you just hoodwinked, led astray, right? That whole thing. And I guess the answer is back then I'm curious what you said after that Bills loss. Like, were they just pretenders? Because they go ahead and they beat Jacksonville, they beat their tails, but that team had their major issues. They were bad to begin with, and everybody got hurt, and everybody got COVID. So they just weren't even trying to play. So at that point in time, were you still thinking that they had a legit chance? Because we played this whole thing where all of us were talking about how they're going to the Super Bowl. You were on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Patriots got it. They can go to the Super Bowl.
There's a headline. It's on the internet. Like, cold take me all you want. I said, Patriots should start looking at, you know, hotel prices in L.A. 7 straight wins. You can't fake that.
I guess you can.
I guess you can.
See, that's the thing. You can't fake it. Like, because the teams are so, like, if you sat there and went through, I feel like good teams beat crappy teams. And then good teams with really good coaches will always beat a crappy team. Oh, even if it's equal, the coaching is going to put you above, right? So then they end up playing the Colts, which in the end, it's not a good team. They didn't even make the playoffs. But
Boston,
you lost because you were stupid.
Jacksonville in the final week. missed the playoffs.
Okay, and you lost to Buffalo. Okay, good. And you lost to Miami. I think that stings more. You ended up losing your seeding and your positioning in the playoffs to teams that weren't even in the playoffs.
All right, listen, I want to get the calls, but I want to just bring up this Dante Scarnecchia. Talked to Karen. I don't know if you saw that article today. She talked to him.
Does he talk to Karen like Ivan Fierce does?
I don't know. Hey, sugar.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, hot lady.
Hey, hot stuff.
What's up, girlfriend?
This is what Scar told Karen talking about this football team.
Hey, hot stuff.
We've always had that guy. He says, We always had that guy.
Okay.
The guy who moved the chains. Whether it was Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, when all else failed, he was that guy. They don't have that guy right now. They got to get a better job supporting cast around Mac. They don't want to hear that, but that's the truth.
Ooh.
Other than Jacoby Myers, who do they got? So I just think it's interesting.
Like, we got to stop for a second.
Like Dante
Scarnecchia said.
Wait, you got to stop, Lou.
Dante Scarnecchia said they got to get a better supporting cast around Mac. They don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Other than Jacoby Myers, who do they got?
See, to me, you know what this... Can we dissect this for a second, Ben? Help me out with this one. Just taking that quote from Dante Scarnecchia that's been there forever, that knows Bill better than anybody, is basically telling you Bill doesn't want to hear it. Bill's too ego. Bill believes that he's never wrong. He's not going to ever admit that, you know, maybe he picked the wrong guys or didn't do a good job. Because maybe he's so delusional
they
and doesn't
want to
admit that he's
that.
Wrong. They don't. You're wrong, Dante. Like, can you? Like, that to me may be the most telling quote of the whole year.
They don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear that they don't got it.
So, in other words, Dante's saying that they think they have enough.
Yeah. They're delusional.
Do you think he's saying this based on experience? Like he expressed this last year before he retired?
Knowing Dante Scarnecchia, yeah. I'm thinking he's just talking about the players. You know, players always think that they have enough and they've got enough in the room. I can't imagine.
You don't think he's talking about Bill?
I can't imagine that he's taking a little shot.
Says, they gotta get
why
a
would
better,
he say that? He would never diss a player.
Listen, they got to get a better supporting cast around Mac. They don't want to hear that.
They is the Patriots. Truth. Not they, yeah. The players. They yeah. Don't make the pick the players.
They, the Patriots, need to get a better supporting yes. Cast. And they, the Patriots, don't
want to
hear that.
And they don't believe that they don't have it. They believe that they spent money, therefore they should be better.
We talked about this before, you know, as far like Mac Jones and what he can become. And we said, who in this offense is leaving? This is who it is next year. N'Keal Harry. Okay, so hopefully, and we'll see, maybe you dive back in, whether it's first, second, third round, and try to find another wide receiver in the draft. We've seen plenty. We'll go back to N'Keal Harry's draft. We can do that in the second, third round. Wide receivers are impacting this league. But other than that, you know, where's the improvement going to come? Like, I'm a proponent of giving him, going and finding that college wide receiver. And hopefully they click together because I want to find out sooner rather than later, you know, what Mac Jones is, like Buffalo did with a guy like Josh Allen. But if you bring back this offense, Ben, you're talking about this offense has no pop. If you bring back same tight ends, the same wide receivers. Where's the pop? They're going to take a cycle of juice?
The
juice up, a little steroid error, so Shaughnessy can get pissed? What are you going to do?
There's one move they can make, and it's still kind of theoretical because I don't really know who's out there. But, you know, he said they need a guy, and if you look at who he mentioned, it was like Welker, Edelman, Amendola. I mean, what does that tell you? They need a slot receiver. Badly. They need, I think I've said this, they need a guy who on 3rd and 6
can
get open at the line of scrimmage and pick up 7 yards. It's not Jacoby Myers.
Hunter Renfro.
He's not little, he's not short and quick. Like the, he's a
he
bigger.
He gets open though.
But not like those guys. Not like Welker. They need
Gerard Mayo
Braxton
for Hunter Renfro.
Barrios, or, you know, whenever he becomes available. A guy like that. Mm-hmm. Hunter Renfro.
So a short, undersized, white slot receiver.
Doesn't have to be white, but that's who's always been the engine of the offense.
I mean, you got Hunter Renfro. Another like, you know, undersized, you know guys.
Who's that wide receiver I saw for Utah or something like that in a bowl?
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown. That's what they need.
Bring
no, but more than, I think more than the number one on the outside, like, of course, everyone could use a Jamar Chase or a number one. But I think with Mac and his arm strength and the offense they're trying to run, it's always been that slot receiver, and they don't have anything like that right
well,
now.
Well, they're also, to your point, though, they're an inside-out offense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, they want to hit those, you know, between the numbers, that stuff. Because they tell me other than a receiver that they spent a bunch of money on that was like your typical number one threat, like your Stephon Diggs. I'm an outside receiver. I'm Calvin Johnson. I'm Jamar Chase. Just, you know, for example, right? They don't spend money on those guys. I mean, they got Randy Moss in a trade. They don't have a guy.
More times than not, it's somebody that like a Welker that they had trouble with when they played. And they thought they can get more out of, right? Just like a guy like that. And Tyler just brought it up. I think Jari brought it up the other day, too. Isaiah McKenzie.
There you go.
The guy that they just tried to play, who was in the slot when Beasley was out.
Bryant.
And they couldn't cover him. And he sat there and said, okay, that's the kind of guy I need right there. He ain't going to cost that
well,
much.
Well, I tell you what, that's the way it was with Welker. I saw that firsthand. I was like, why aren't we covering this guy?
Yeah.
And who is he? You know? So, but I do think that, like, you know, hearing Dante Scarnecchia say that, like, brings in the delusional part of what went wrong after the bye week. Like, what went wrong? Did you think you were better than you were?
Ben, what do you think? What's your take on that? What the hell happened this bye week?
You heard several times.
It's the Malcolm Butler of this season.
Yeah, and this is where we miss, you know, not having reporters in the locker room and stuff like that, being able to develop relationships with guys.
Get the temperature of the room.
Yeah, take a guy, pull a guy aside. And say, hey,
yeah,
hey.
Doing all right.
Yeah, hey, what happened there in the bye week? But so everything is so staged, you know, with these press conferences. And yet still you hear guys talking about, you know, we read our clippings too much. We got a little full of ourselves. I think they didn't.
And, I'm with you.
And you have a lot of new faces here. A lot of guys who haven't been a part of the Patriot way and probably maybe started feeling pretty good about themselves and not realizing that the season's still 2 months old. And I also think they, as we said, I think it was a mirage. I think they got exposed because they started playing better teams. They beat up, other than the Chargers, they beat up a bunch of bad teams.
Healthy teams.
Yeah.
Right? Healthy teams.
Well, the Colts were better than the Patriots, yeah. Too. I mean,
that day.
But for the most part.
But see, I'm with you. I think that 2-4 mentality that they embraced during that bye week, that 2-4 mentality changed to 9-4 mentality, number one seed in the East, and a lot of people think we're the best team in the AFC. They did that for 10 days, you know, during that bye week. And they just sort of lost that focus. They lost that edge. And they weren't good enough to flip that switch back on again. Like, oh, okay, we won bad game against Indy. We'll get right back into it. We're focused on Buffalo. We'll take care of business. We just beat them. We just took their souls. We just emasculated them. We just embarrassed them. We're going to do it again. And they got their teeth kicked in. And I think the reality started to set in. Because it looked to me like it just carried over to this weekend. I wasn't there at practice. We haven't heard any words about bad week of practice, but my guess is this team just stopped believing in themselves, and that's the reason why they look like they quit.
Again, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
You don't think deep down?
I won't admit what I look in the mirror like you know this. Remember how deep down we knew we weren't good enough.
You remember how you tell me like you know when you play like the Chargers and Bill's up there in front of us and he's like, listen, this offense is legit. Okay, we got our work cut out. And you're like, there's a buy-in from the players. And you're like, yeah, he's right. And Bill does that against Davis Mills. Listen, this offense is legit. This kid can play. And you say subconsciously, even just the players sit there and say, yeah, okay, Bill, whatever.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll treat it like a professional, but internally, like we'll.
So you think they could do this? We'll treat it like professionally, but internally, we're done. We're not that good.
I know, but
this
you want to get our teeth kicked in the cold. You want me to act like. Like they got like completely beat down in the second game. They didn't. So I can't believe that they woke up Saturday morning going, wow, I can't wait till this is over. We're like, you know what, this is dead man walking. They got our number.
Well, let me ask you this.
What happened was they took the ball, they drove it down your throat. You threw a pick, okay? And then they drove it down your throat again. And then you three and out or whatever. Then they drove it down your throat again. Then you're going, holy crap. This team is a freight train. We can't stop them.
All right, Ben, you were there at practices, right? Media sessions?
Never?
Not this week?
No,
like Zooms, whatever it was.
I did interviews. I didn't go to physical.
You were at the game, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
On the field, pregame, everything. Checking them out, rather. Not in the field, but you were there.
It was cold.
I want you to hear what Ryan Hannibal had to say Sunday with Hart and Fitzy. And I wanted to see if you agree with him. This is what he had to say.
I did kind of notice throughout the week, just kind of a, not lack of confidence, but almost like the team was kind of didn't believe in themselves. There's no like specific quotes or anything like that, but just the general vibe with the people that we talked to over the course of the week. In pregame warm-ups last night, it stood out to me that the Bills were dancing around and kind of embracing the frigid temperatures, whereas the Pagers were just kind of going through the motions and almost looked like they just wanted to get back inside in the locker room. Whatever happened during that bye week, I think, you know, the Patriots kind of just realized, like you guys have been saying, that they are what they are. And I think they realized that they, you know, weren't necessarily a team that could win a playoff game. And I think that carried over throughout the week and then before the game last night.
Do you sense that at all, the field, pregame?
Yeah, a little bit.
Or just a feeling like they...
I try not to project.
Buffalo was more into it than they were?
I try not to project too much. But, yeah, I thought the Patriots would come into this game with the chip, and the Bills still carried it over, even though they got their revenge the last time. The Bills still kind of treated this game as their Super Bowl. I'm kind of curious to see, though, how they respond because the Bills have only beaten up on the Patriots here towards the end of the season. After, you know, they struggled against the Jets, they struggled against the Panthers and the Falcons, and we've seen it time and again where a team, you know, they throw the tackle eligible play when they're up by 35 points because, you know, beating the Patriots is all that matters, and then they collapse emotionally the next week. So I want to see how the Bills handle this, but clearly I think they were still the team with more juice, and I do agree with Ryan that I think the Patriots players were probably realistic in knowing what kind of team they were towards the end of the season. You think that?
I think that's just the biggest pile of crap I've ever heard in my life.
You think they were confident going into that game?
Why would I not be confident?
Because you got your butt handed to you.
When did I get my butt handed to me?
In the first Bills game.
No, I didn't.
The day after Christmas.
Okay, so in that game, even though we played like crap, okay, they go up on a 17-7 at halftime. We actually come back and we have an opportunity to win that game. We lose 33-21, and it's not as bad as the score would seem. So no, I would look at myself and say we got to stop being stupid. We're making it easy on them. We're digging ourselves into a hole. Why can't we start off strong? Why can't we start fast? So you're preaching that the whole week, and then the game starts and you don't start fast, and then you make a stupid mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, Jakob Johnson jumps off sides. I mean,
you're
preaching this the whole freaking time. Mm. And then you start going, dude, we haven't learned our lesson. You don't think you can't lose. You go, we haven't learned our lesson. We're still a stupid team. And then they just end up, and then by the time you actually realize it, it's too freaking late. Now you're just that kid where the older kid is holding your head and you're just swinging like crazy trying to hit him. That's who you are.
All right, listen, we got a lot of guys online here. 617-779-7937. Talking about all of them. I want to talk about the same thing, the defense. So I want to dive into this Dan Shaughnessy column. I'll give you the headline as we go to break. This loss has to be extra awkward, for Bill Belichick with his sons on staff as defensive coaches. We'll do it next. Right, a lot of complaints about this defense, and rightfully so, on Saturday night, which gets Dan Shaughnessy of the Globe to write, this loss has to be extra awkward for Bill Belichick with sons on the staff as defensive coaches. He goes on, I mean, it's just, it's so true. You know, you go out there, he says, when Bill Belichick's team delivers a defensive stink bomb like it did on Saturday, coaching is going to come into question. And when the head coach says that in his son may be the team's defensive coordinator, well, you should see my inbox, Dan Shaughnessy writes. He said, but it's awkward. It's probably unfair. I mean, who wouldn't want their children working with us in the family business?
Sorry, but that makes me a bad person.
But, and he's absolutely right. How many defensive coaches do they have?
I don't know off the top of my head, but six? I don't know, 7, 8, yeah.
Six, maybe? I don't know. I'm saying, so a third of them are his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look at this team defensively, and, you know, anybody, we could sit on, like, the end of the season stats. You mentioned it before. This offense was sixth best in the league as far as points per game. The defense was second best in the league before points per game. If those numbers don't lie, that's not proof that, like, just don't go by the numbers all the time, right? But how awkward is it? When you look at your team, you look at your defense, the way they played, and your kid's a defensive coordinator, and your other kid's out there in the secondary.
It just draws some interesting problems for Belichick, because he's all about accountability, right? And where is the accountability for the coach's sons? And look, I agree. It's not I don't blame Belichick for wanting to coach with his sons. I think we'd all be so lucky to have that.
I think it's one of the reasons why you feel like he's going to be around for a while.
And, you know, he grew up as the son of Bill Belichick. He probably does know a thing or two about football. So I don't think it's fair to just cast him aside as, you know, just a product of being daddy's kid or whatever. But there isn't going to be accountability for those kids, you know, unlike there would be for other coaches. So that's why. You know, like Kyle Shanahan, he kind of got out from under his dad's shadow.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Belichick might need to get out. If he truly wants to grow in the league and prove himself, he might have to get away from the Patriots and be treated like any other coach for the most part.
See, that ultimately is, if it's really going to happen, you can't do it under daddy's watch. Yeah. Like, you really got to go start your own family, you know, pack up your stuff, make your way west, and start your own family. Start your own legacy and your own just everything. Like, it's just not going to work, because I would say, do you actually think that if the defense really was a liability, was really an issue, that he would fire one of his kids?
No chance. I mean, his kids being there is a reason why he's hanging around.
What about this?
Okay, it's like all a package deal.
Yeah, and then the fact that, like, you mentioned stats. So if you mention stats and everybody's going to bitch and complain, I can say, well, look at where we rank in the NFL.
Number two.
We're a really good defense, guys. So, like, I mean, because do stats matter or do they not matter? Or is it the whole Bill thing where it says stats are for losers?
Yeah, I would say in this, yeah, stats are for losers. Bill
stats are for losers.
Yeah, thank you. I would say this team, probably more so than any team in the league, did a better job beating up on really bad football teams. Like I say, everybody plays the same schedule. You can look at everybody plays, you know, the Jets and these teams, Jacksonville, whatever. Yeah, they do. Nobody beat them up better than you. And good for you. You know what I mean? When you faced an opponent like that, you did exactly what you should have done. But, I mean, it was, we mentioned it before, I think it was a plus 184, you know, point differential on teams that were, like, under 500. Like, that's off the charts. Like, off the charts. It's the reason why they were, like, number two in the NFL in point differential. But they just did an amazing job beating seven opponents or seven wins. Like, that's why those numbers are where they are. The only way out of moving Steve Belichick out of this position, I think, is bringing in an experienced defensive coordinator. Like one that's been around a long time, where you can look at your kid and say, listen, we're bringing, you know, this
guy
in.
I'm bringing Matt back.
I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this process.
Whatever. I'm just saying, not that Flores would ever come back, but if you wanted to put Patricia back as a defensive coordinator, I could even see that. Look, you're going to go back and you can deal with linebackers. You know, you're going to, whatever, you're going to.
Talk about being emasculated. Oh,
but
geez.
Like, we don't think that Patricia didn't have any hand in the defense this year. I mean, of course he was helping out on that side of the football. It only makes sense. That's his specialty. He's Belichick's right-hand man. He's standing next to him.
So Bill sticks with his kids.
Yeah, because I don't think...
Look, no matter what?
I think, well, yes, I think no matter what, because I think them being here and him being able to... I think Bill, like many coaches, has some regrets about not being as available for his kids when they were growing up, and this is his way of kind of making up for it. And I think he relishes the opportunity to work with them, and I think that's great. I think it's awesome to be able to get to spend time with your sons, and so I don't blame them for that. But I don't think Steve was really the. I mean, this is still Bill's defense. B,
because it's always Bill's defense.
He's still the guy in charge. No, I don't think Bill's, Steve has any like real authority.
Okay, so let's be honest. It's Bill's defense when they're playing well.
No, I'm not even lying to you. I would say it's true.
It's like this. Remember after the Dallas game, this was the whole thing. Bill started taking over the defense after Dallas, and they rattled off 7 straight. You know, they lost 4 out of 5. Well, yeah, because after 7 games, he gave it back to Steve during the bye. It's like, okay, well, which is it?
Well, I feel like Bill was, like, going out of his way, and Shaughnessy actually talks about it in there, about, like, about complimenting Steve. Like, talking about how he had good game plans. Like, almost going out of his way. And I do think it is interesting, okay, that nepotism, I mean, it could come back to bite you in the ass. Like, it could. And, Tyler, you were talking about defensive coordinators?
Yeah, so back in February 2019, no one officially has the D.C. label right now, but back in 2019 in February, it was Greg Schiano, who was in the building for like 1 month, bailed, went back to the college game, is now the head coach at Rutgers. What about a guy like Vic Fangio, a guy who just got fired from Denver, a veteran in the NFL game, longtime defensive coordinator? That'd be a guy with a stature you would put ahead of a Steve and Brian Belichick.
And if that is the case, I wonder if these guys say, you know what, I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to leave and start over again. Because, the last coordinator that came in, help me with this one, the last coordinator that wasn't like an in-house guy, that I feel like it was Dean Pease.
I think Pease.
But he was
and
a position coach.
They make him do like a year or two as a grunt before taking over.
And then Bill O'Brien was not the offensive. Then he was an outside guy. He wasn't like a Josh McDaniels, Brian Dable, guys that kind of came up through the ranks. Outside guy, learn the system. You're really good. Now you run it. Normally they promote from within. Like that's his philosophy.
Let's have some fun and hire Rex.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
That would be great.
Let's do that.
That would be great.
I mean, but is that even?
I mean, it's got to be mayo. It's got to be Mayo. Assuming he doesn't
be Mayo
get,
being what?
He needs to be elevated to the clear defensive coordinator.
He didn't do it with Brian Flores, who has been there forever.
How bad of a look is that?
Why wouldn't he give it to him? He has more experience than Gerard Mayo, unless he wants to, you know, push Gerard Mayo to the forefront and elevate him to give him an extra boost.
I mean, to me, look, like, the cameras are always on the head coach, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You know what I mean? And when you watch the games, the cameras are on Steve Belichick.
Tongue hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, tongue's hanging out, full mullet, doing his thing. You know, and every once in a while, they might go to a guy like Cam Accord when a special team sucks or does something stupid. But other than that, it's just like there's a Josh McDaniels calling plays. Here's Bill. Here's Steve Belichick. Like, the cameras very rarely will go on Gerard Mayo. And you can say it means nothing, but I think sometimes in those production things, they're like, listen, he's the guy. Like, he's the defensive coordinator. That's the guy we're filming, period.
Well, Christian, don't you think that now compared to 2018, whenever with Flores, that the staff has a credibility problem a little bit?
Yes.
I mean, they've lost so many guys, and it's all...
No, we've been talking about it,
sons of Belichick and guys who played for the Patriots. It's all like
Mick Lombardi. There's a lot of good old boy going around.
Yeah. So that's why you promote Mayo, because he's got some credibility at least.
How does he have more credibility? I don't know. Where does his credibility? Because he played?
Because he played, yeah.
Okay.
For a long time.
I mean, I guess if that's...
Well, I want to get to that, too. I want to get to that because you bring up some of these coaches. And we brought this up yesterday. Maybe pissed off some people talking about Bill Belichick. Was this the worst coached Patriots team we have seen under Bill? We'll discuss it next on the MFers here with Ben Volen.
Blah, 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 Matt Ryan, blah, 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 mobility.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.